To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Holy hole in a donut!
Hey guys.
I never said thank you.
And you'll never have to.
We're bad guys. It's what we do.
Let's put a smile on that face. I'm Batman.
Welcome to another episode of Gotham City Central, a Batman podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam. And with me this time is my co-host, Steven. Steven, how's it going?
I'm doing baptastic today, Adam.
As am I. In case you're wondering, on this show for today, Stephen is the Alfred to my Bruce Wayne. And partly is because he's English, and I'm sticking to that. You can call that stereotypical. I don't care. It is what it is.
Master Wayne.
He's drinking tea. He's drinking tea, and he should have brought me one. If he lets, the only difference between...
Andy's out of a Batman mug.
He's infringing on my trademark. No, but
I've just tweeted about it. So if you look on Twitter,
yeah, I saw it. I saw it. Very nice choice. And the only difference is if Steven's version of Alfred lets Vicky Vale into the Batcave, I won't complain. I'll just kick him out and put do not disturb on the door.
Yeah. I was going to say and put a bit of a kiss from a rose on.
I mean, that's quintessential romance music, isn't it?
Yeah,
for any Batman fan, but it's a bit of a very impromptu podcast. We weren't expecting to record today, but the universe decided let's drop some news, and it's some big news.
Some sad news as well, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's unfortunately some sad news, but the good news is so good. I mean, it's almost as big as Bane when he gets hopped up on that venom juice, but. But we'll get to that in a minute. We'll lead off with the unfortunate sad news, and that is that director Joel Schumacher has passed away at the age of 80 years old. Apparently, he was battling cancer of some sort. It's terrible to hear something like this, especially on the heels. You know, coming days after the anniversary of Batman Forever.
Yeah.
You know, despite my distaste for Batman and Robin, and despite the fact that I used to make jokes about, you know, like I used to say how I was like Sheldon Cooper because he had. Joel Schumacher on his top five list of enemies or list, whatever it is. That was all jokes. I never actually hated the man. I mean, I borderline, there's that word again. I borderline love.
You're banned from using that word, Adam.
I can't. It's just too good. He made a one really good Batman movie, and he's made a whole host of others. One of my other Joel Schumacher favorites is The Lost Boys.
Yeah, Lost Boys is fantastic.
I really like that movie. It's not a fun film to watch, but I do appreciate and respect A Time to Kill because of, you know, how important and how powerful that film is.
Have you seen 8mm? I'll throw that in there. That's a good film. It's not a nice film either.
Eminem?
No, 8mm. It's Nicolas Cage. It's about about snuff movies, basically. They find I think Cage is like a detective investigating these snuff films, and it's a bit. It's obviously a
You watch some really weird shit, I gotta tell you.
Just everyone knows about it. I've been to it. Honestly, watch it.
I've never seen that film, no.
No, it's a really good film. It's dark, it's very dark, and you follow Nicolas Cage as he's trying to investigate. I think this girl gets murdered, basically, and turns out she got murdered in a snuff film, and he, like, investigates. It's not like a film full of snuff.
Snuff. Does Stephen watch when I hang up the phone?
I always say to people, and people say, like, obviously, because Batman and Robin wasn't really Joel Schumacher's fault. It was a rush job, and the toy companies and all that palaver. But if you watch 8mm, it shows you that Joel Schumacher can make a really dark film.
With Colin Farrell, the Penguin, and Kiefer Sutherland, aka Jack Bauer. Yeah. But anyway,
he'd have made a great dark Batman film if he'd been given the opportunity.
Absolutely, and you know what? I respect the man because he took the blame for that awful piece of garbage that Warner Brothers made him make. I respect that.
Yeah,
and I respect that he took the blame and he took culpability of it. And even though, you know, if I was him, I would have thrown Warner Brothers and the toy companies under the bus. But he didn't do that. And
seemed like too nice of a guy, didn't he?
He really did. And you really get the sense that he respected. Like, he was living a lifelong dream making a Batman movie. You could tell that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got to respect him for that. And like I said, he's made some great films. But he did add to the tapestry that is Batman. And for that, he will always have my thanks and respect. So, you know, may he rest in peace. And while he's gone, his legacy will never be forgotten.
And I'll just add, it would be a brilliant time for Warner Brothers to get on the Red Book edition of Batman Forever, because that'd be a great way to honor his memory.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I'm itching to see that film.
And that's the version he that's the director's cut, basically, as well. So
it's the version he wanted.
Put it out,
guys. Come on. You're giving fans what they want. Give us the Red Book edition of Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Release the Schumacher cut, hashtag. Hashtag release the Schumacher cut.
Release the cut tweets now. It's good.
Everybody, hashtag that. Release the Schumacher cut.
I've seen a few people do it today. So
yeah, keep doing it. Godspeed to Joel Schumacher. All right, we've got the sadder part of the podcast dealt with, and what better way than to lift our bad spirits than with some happy news? Stephen, as long as you've known me, I've been hammering the point home of, you know, Warner Brothers should bring back Michael Keaton to make a Batman Beyond movie.
Yeah.
So bring him back as Bruce Wayne. And scenario, you could use that to sort of, he could find a way to explain away the two films that he wasn't in. You know, I always added that as part of my pitch, where it would be something with the Scarecrow and blah, blah, blah. You remember I told you that?
Well, yeah, I do actually, yeah. You didn't go with a vague history route. You went with a different route.
I basically went with the other two films happened, and essentially he'd be mentoring Terry McGinnis, and in the Batcave one day he'd be talking about it, because in my headcanon version of this film, a newer version of the Scarecrow would appear to foil Batman Beyond, and in that way, so in talking to Bruce about the fear toxin, Bruce would sort of come up with a story saying that one time he was the recipient of being doused by Jonathan Crane's fear toxin, and he had this hallucination of being surrounded by neon and fighting the likes of Jim Carrey's Riddler and Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face and Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy. So that was my way of kind of explaining those films out of this continuity by saying, you know, they were part of it. So they counted, but they didn't at the same time. Anyway, that was my, again, not taking anything away from Joel Schumacher, because I just said how much I enjoy Forever and I respect the man. But that was just my pitch to say, if Tim Burton came back to direct the Batman Beyond film, that's how I would play it. Well, all this preamble is to say that we're not, as of right now, we're not getting a Batman Beyond film. However, according to various Hollywood trades, including The Wrap, which first reported it, The Hollywood Reporter, Variety, even Batman on Film, they're all saying that Michael Keaton is in talks to return to the role of Bruce Wayne in the Andy Muschietti directed The Flash movie starring Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
All I can say is, holy shit, I never expected this. I had always hoped that something like a Batman Beyond scenario would happen, but I never, in my wildest dreams, thought we'd get Michael Keaton back. Because there are things that I want, you know, that I know I'm never going to get, and I thought that was one of them. Now, folks, in case you're wondering, you'd probably think to yourself, am I dreaming? Is this real? Am I going to wake up any second? I've checked everything, folks. I looked out my front door window. Neither Alexa Bliss nor Margot Robbie are here in their Harley Quinn outfits to take me out on a date. So I'm not dreaming. This is not a fever dream. This is not a hallucination from Jonathan Crane's fear talk. This is real, folks. And Stephen, well, I'm borderline shock here. Every time I say borderline, folks, take a drink. While I'm in borderline shock over here, Stephen, what are your thoughts on this whole thing? Just the idea of Michael Keaton coming back as Bruce Wayne / Batman.
It's something I've wanted to happen for years. I mean, going back to before when I was a kid, I mean, the first Batman film I ever saw was the Tim Burton Batman film. And I've always said in this previous episode of the podcast, so you can trust me on this, including when I appeared on Holy Batcast, I said, Michael Keaton is my favorite Batman. That has not changed. And I've always felt like he had unfinished business in the role. And I remember when before Batman Begins came out, I remember a lot, you know, absorbing the two Burton films over and over and over again, and being so just thinking, oh, I wish we'd have got that third film from Burton. And you know, while we're not getting a third film from Burton, we are getting Michael Keaton back, and that is just massive. And you know, I think we have to really credit Jim Lee for all he's done, because that putting Ezra Miller in Crisis on Infinite Earths was such a, it was almost like he was trying to tell us something without being able to say it out loud. And what he's basically saying now is anything is possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and you have talked how we really want Brandon Ralph, whether it's a show, a film or whatever, you know, Superman, that's Kingdom Come, or even if it's just not Kingdom Come and it's just Superman, you know, all these things we could get now. You've got to think, when somebody's saying something and saying, I want this, you can't turn around now and go, that's never going to happen, because you just don't know.
Yeah, but like you're saying, everything is on the table here now.
Yeah, and it's all connected, including films like Steel and Catwoman.
No. Listen, Warner Brothers, I love that you're embracing the multiverse, but leave that shit where it belongs, in a toilet, or preferably flushed out of it. But okay, so we've talked about our general excitement about, you know, Michael Keaton, the Batman that I'm sorry, I'm going to ramble a bit for a second here. The Batman that, you know, yes, I grew up. Look, I watched the 66 show and I loved it. But the minute I saw Batman 1989, the first movie I ever saw in theaters, the first memory I have of going to a theater and watching that movie, that took my Batman fandom to another level. Like that movie, watching that movie is why this podcast exists. Now, a lot of people that don't like me may curse the movie now, but it's part of the reason why it is, because if I hadn't seen that movie, I would have grown to love Batman even more. I wouldn't have investigated the rest of the DC universe with Superman, et cetera, et cetera. And I wouldn't be sitting here talking about, you know, Batman. And it's just, I don't know what to say. I'm rarely speechless. Like, but here I am trying to find enough words to quantify. So now that we're all excited and having a, you know, a borderline masturbatory session here. do we have particulars on what do we have? And I'm leading you because I know we have some more information. But what given some of what the trades are saying, what do we know?
Well, it's actually a little bit mixed. And I think what we have to remember here is they might not have all the details, but it's been speculated that he's going to replace the DCEU Batman. Obviously, I've seen some people already up in arms about that, but it doesn't actually say how that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just basically speculating. Now, with The Flash, that opens up so many possibilities because we've seen on the TV show, Barry has time traveled multiple times and effed things up.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, to a point where he had twin kids and then he had a daughter. And then, you know, Deagle had a
somehow,
daughter.
And became somehow a... Iris survives it all. I don't get it. Anyway, yeah.
No, but you know what I mean? You can buy into it because this is the thing with The Flash. There's always been rumors that Flashpoint is going to, quote, fix the DCU. And by fix it, I don't mean kind of take it into a place where it needs fixing because it's broken, but more like kind of just bring everything together. But what I wasn't expecting was to bring everything together. So, like, the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, the, you know, the Burton Batman, it's all, like, connected and it exists in its own little world and stuff. So, but back to what you said anyway, the other thing they're saying is that it's likely that he will be, as you said earlier, that he'll get, it might be a deal for multiple films.
Yes.
And they're kind of expecting him to be kind of like the Nick Fury of the DCEU.
Right.
And that one of the roles may lead to him being training, you know, training a protege successor. And the rumor is, or the speculation is that it could be Batgirl.
Yeah.
So I'll be cool with that.
Look, I think, I think that's a genius idea because if you can't get Affleck back in the role for movies, right? Then, and I hesitate to believe that Warner Brothers would cast another person that is the same age and looks similar to Affleck to do that while they're having a rebooted Batman trilogy with Robert Pattinson. You know what I mean? I always
say,
if it wasn't Affleck, as much as I would have, it would have been cool to have two contemporary aged Batmans, you know, on the big screen at the same time.
Yeah.
I kind of always thought that while that would be nice, I doubt Warner Bros. Is game for that because, you know, so if we can't have Affleck, this is a fantastic route to go, in my opinion. Because think about it, like if the other thing I want to say is because this has been Humberto Gonzalez El Mayembe has said that basically Jeffrey Dean Morgan will not be playing Flashpoint Batman.
See, and that's been contradicted in some reports, though.
Right. But so in essence, because Flashpoint Batman does in the comic book version of the story, he does become a mentor kind of thing to Barry to help him navigate his way through and find his way back home. But if you're not using Flashpoint as like you're adapting it to, you know, word for word, but taking the concept, this is a great idea. And think about it, as cool as it would be, as excited as I would be to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan playing a gun-toting, you know, Batman who had the experience of watching Bruce die instead of himself, and, you know, Martha Wayne turning into the Joker, et cetera, et cetera. As cool as that would be for me, think about it from a general audience point of view, right? General audiences, by and large, have not read Flashpoint.
And
so to them, seeing, you know, Dean Winchester from Supernatural, not Dean Winchester, whatever the father's name is, something Winchester.
Oh,
the father,
John.
The father of,
John.
John Winchester. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. John Winchester from Supernatural, or what is it? Negan from The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
To them, they're gonna be like, "What? Huh?" And again, yeah, sure, he was in BVS, but that's gonna be weird to them.
Mm.
Time travel as a concept will be weird to them in general.
I think we also need to take into account what Muschietti said. He said it's a version of Flashpoint,
right?
As well,
exactly. But so to make this more easily digestible for the audience, what better way to get the Batman that general audiences would recognize the most?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is Michael Keaton.
And if they're wanting to watch his films, they can just put he's on many streaming services and stuff. So
right, yeah. So I think from an accessibility standpoint for general audiences, that would work better than having a Jeffrey Dean Morgan Flashpoint Batman.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah,
So we now know, if talks go through properly, we're getting Keaton Batman and Cyborg in this, for definite. Right.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and listen, Warner Brothers, I'm going to tell you now. You have no idea how excited I am. Like,
he's already out of the draw.
Folks, yeah, listen. These level of nerd boners have not occurred since we got the announcement of a Batman and Superman film.
Yeah.
That's how excited I am about this. So Warner Brothers, I don't care who you have to get in there to make the deal stick. Sign the deal. Don't screw it up, because if you screw it up, I'll be eternally mad at you, and I will bitch and moan from now till eternity how you screwed this up. I love this idea, and I just like. And again, am I still hoping that one day they can set a Batman Beyond film in the future and have Keaton, put even a little bit older makeup on him and have him mentor Terry McGinnis? Yeah, but the idea of potentially having him do the same thing for a Barbara Gordon Batgirl, I think is a great idea.
It's an idea, right? What if Barbara Gordon's not a teenager, but she's in like 30s or something, or early 30s, late 20s? You could potentially do something a little later where she does quit being Batgirl and becomes involved with the police, like in The Batman Beyond show, and then he has to train a new protege, which is Terry. You know what I mean? You can still make it work, can't you, with the timeline?
Right, you could do a couple of Batgirl films and then...
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be like 18 in
Right, so you still have some films in between that you could
So, I think if they did do Batman Beyond, they might just make it its own thing or do a... I think the animated idea is probably a good idea.
Wouldn't it be funny if they got Michael Keaton for this and then in 20 years got Affleck back for Batman Beyond?
Could you imagine? That would be absolutely hilarious. He might do it because he wouldn't have to suit up, would he?
Yeah, exactly.
See, I don't necessarily think this means that Affleck's not going to do that his thing on HBO Max. I'm not saying that's going to happen either.
Right, so we don't know.
At me on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I don't think this rules out. I think this is just what they want to do for Flashpoint.
No, but I think what I think could happen is that I think Affleck, if he was gonna reprise Beyond Zack Snyder's Justice League, he'd want it to be a one and done situation where that's what the HBO scenario allows. If he's presented with this idea where it's multiple films, I don't think he'll go for that.
No, I don't even, but I think you're right, but I actually think what will happen with Affleck, I think he'll wait to see what happens with the Snyder Cut. He might make his mind up on.
Right, but either way, I don't think he'd sign on for multiple appearances in...
I don't either, but I think he might do his Batman script, is what I meant.
On an HBO Max, again, yeah. Because it would be a one-and-done scenario.
Yeah.
See, I think Affleck is more about, if I'm going to come back, let me do it as a one-and-done scenario and be NPL. Whereas Michael Keaton has always said that if he was ever...
That might not happen, but I think,
it's possible. Like, I'm not saying that it will or won't happen. I don't know. Like, I'm not, unfortunately, I don't have scoopers. Poker scoopers, maybe.
We're just shooting the breeze here. Yeah.
I don't have inside sources, so I'm not privy to all kinds of
information. See, I keep thinking of Michael Keaton's Batman meeting like Henry Cavill Superman and stuff like that. I just think how cool that would be.
That would be.
Yeah, well, I'm totally on this Batman.
He's like, now why can't I fight you? No, I'm kidding. Hey, listen, I think Michael Keaton's Batman would have been more ruthless. He would have put a bomb down Superman, a kryptonite bomb down Superman.
Well, that's
Superman's
the other thing. You can still even do that. This Batman's darker because Batman in 89 and Returns just fucking kills bad guys. He don't care.
He's like, hey, I got to get the job done, and if you're in my way, get out.
It's not like King Batman Begins. He's like, I don't care about okay. saving.
Can I see? Can like, I have a request. I have a request.
Yeah.
I have a request to Warner Brothers. Andy Muschietti and his sister, who's the producer. Anybody who's not really actually listening to this podcast, but I'm gonna say it anyway. My request. I got it. Listen, I want a shot of the 89 Batmobile.
I
want to see it in the cave.
I want the same cave from 89 because that cave was beautiful.
Yeah, have it all weathered, have it all
like you said, but
yeah, like have it all disheveled and all like you know,
yeah,
it's gone to shits or whatever. But I still want to see it.
So here's something I wanted to talk to you about, right? And you know me, I always bring Superman into everything, right? So Brandon Ralph is the Christopher Reeve Superman according to Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah,
what if they're in the same Earth, like the same universe? You think that's a possibility? Because there's rumors about the Kingdom Come thing, isn't there? So I'm just in my head going, well, get Michael Keaton to do that as well. But it probably won't happen, but you know when you think.
but who's to say? Oh, this is so tough to... just thinking about it makes me happy, but so I don't want to get too excited. But what, I mean... Is there anything saying that they can't coax Brandon Routh to do what he did on Crisis?
I don't think they'd have to coax him either.
In a cameo appearance in a movie?
Why not? And I'm going to say this right now, right? If Cavill isn't coming back, which I think he is, but let's just say for Devil's Advocate he isn't, and they're already changing Batman, they could just change Superman as well, you know? So.
Yeah, if we're going back to the future,
There's all these options on table, isn't there? I just think what we're getting now is, I think they're just showing us that this is a multiverse and you're going to get multiple versions of these characters that you love.
And
including ones you thought you'd never see again.
I love it. I mean, this to me, I can't believe that I read this today. Like I saw, and here's what happens. So we saw, you know, people posting GIFs and the Scoopers do this. It aggravates me to know. It's so frustrating.
It wasn't just Scoopers doing it. Some people had found out. There were people like, even Holy Batcast knew something. I mean, he obviously knows Mark and stuff, doesn't he? And a couple of us. But...
Yeah, Andy, I want to know how you know, sir. Over there, I know you're back in China. Who told you? Who told you?
I won't name the guy, but I spoke to that guy on Twitter and he found out from somebody and he told me. But that's when I messaged you. And you were like, what?
Getting sources. No, because I saw the gifts and I'm like, oh, here we go. By the way, didn't I post a Michael King gift a couple of weeks ago as a joke? I was right. See?
Yeah, you did. You Cosmic Butt Newsed it.
Yeah. I threw shit against the wall and it stuck. First time ever.
Can you now post a GIF of Brandon Ralph's Superman, please?
Yeah, as soon as we finish recording, you bet your ass
that. I just think it's so cool. And this is making DC so different to what Marvel are doing because...
I'm living in a dream world. That's all now, I can say.
I know this is Marvel and not DC, but can we now get a Spider-Man film that's got all three Spider-Man in? Because I really want to see that. That would get me pretty excited.
I'll watch this, but based on today's news, I really don't care. I don't care what Marvel does at this point.
I was just going to say, man, imagine if, let's say Batman Forever stole canon, and then he sees Alana, and he's like, Chase Meridian?
Oh, yeah. Oh, can they do that for a joke?
I'd love that. I'd love it.
Like, you look like somebody I once dated.
Yeah, just something like that. You were quite funny, wasn't it, when they kept doing that with Brandon Ralph in Crossover? They kept saying Al Carroll like his cousin, because obviously he was two men before, weren't they?
Imagine he says that to Queen Atlanta, and Aquaman just looks at him funny, like gives him one of those problems.
It was like, Aquaman, bend your mom.
Well, technically, Batman's already done that to Superman's mom.
to Aquaman's mom. And everyone's moms.
Oh, my God. Batman's the player. He's going around the multiverse having a field day. Yeah, no, I can't. I just, like... This is fantastic. I mean, I dreamed it, but never did I actually think that this was a possibility.
I think as well, like, of all the news we thought we could get Batman related, because you know what's funny, actually, I'm going to say this. I was kind of a bit bored earlier thinking, oh, I could really use some DC news today, and then this happened. Just like, what on earth?
So I need you to get bored every day and say that out loud.
See, I need to say something to you now, right? Do you remember ages ago when Jason Momoa, I think he'd gone for a meeting at Warner Brothers or something, and he came out and he said, you've no idea what's coming.
That is
he knew some stuff. He knew some stuff then. He knew what was being planned. I think they opened up a lot of ideas to him that day.
Yeah, this
AT&T is just winning out there.
Since he made us $1 billion, we're going to tell you everything.
Yeah. Well, that's Aquaman's Warner Brothers' biggest hit, isn't it? So,
yeah,
unbelievable. I just like you said, you never thought you'd see the day, did you?
Honest to God, never.
I thought they'd get him back for a voice one time. That was it. I thought he'll come back and do a voice in an animated thing.
I thought they would honestly do something like that, you know, on that level. But never in my wildest dreams did I think, oh yeah, I'm going to see Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne. Now, he said on multiple occasions, like I've seen him say it in interviews, he rarely does revisits characters. But there are two that he feels like he would revisit. Beetlejuice and Batman.
Hey, I'd love it if he did another Beetlejuice.
Right, but focus on Batman first.
Yeah.
Enough of that, you know, whatever. But yeah, so like... I knew that he was game, but now here's a question. Do we at least see him in the suit once?
Well, see, the reports are saying Batman. They're not necessarily just saying Bruce Wayne, so I don't see why not.
I think he can wear it. I mean, they'll give him a thinner one.
Don't forget as well, Michael Keaton didn't have to do a lot in 89 because they had the stunt guy. Stunt guy is doing all fighting, so...
Right, but they could adjust the cowl and the size of it now.
Yeah.
Like the material.
Well, I don't think he could even just, like, pull his off, could he? Like, the other guys later could. So, nowadays suits, you can just slip them on and off, can't you, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, unbelievable.
This is crazy. I mean, again, I'd like to ask the audience, what world am I living in?
It's like you see, it's like the world's gone to hell and DC's just gone, oh, right, here you go.
Like the world outside our doors is crap right now. So yeah. I recommend everybody work from home, read comics, stay inside, and we'll all get together in 2021 and beyond. let's just, the only thing we should focus on is new comic book movie news. That's everything else.
So we've got Bruce Wayne on Batwoman now, we've got Bruce Wayne on Titans, we've got Ben Affleck Batman going back in Snyder Cut, We've got Robert Pattinson Batman coming up, and then we've potentially probably got Michael Keaton Batman, so that's five Batmans.
Unbelievable.
and you think
it's
as well,
a Batman Palooza.
We got to see Conroy playing in live action for the first time ever as well. Like that was something I never thought we'd see.
This is what Hugh Hefner must have felt like at the Playboy Mansion. every day.
He must have been smiling every single day he woke up.
That's what I mean. Imagine that. Like, this is the Batman. This is like Wayne. It's like Wayne Manor. The Playboy Man. I mean, the Playboy Mansion is Wayne Manor.
But it's just unbelievable. I can't get my head around it. I can't get my head around it. I'm just like...
My question is, because I know your brother was a big fan of Keaton as well. Has
yeah.
he heard the news?
Yeah, texted me. Yeah, I think you're a bit shocked. I texted my mate as well, my mate Ashley, who's my best mate. He loves Batman. He was like, well, really? And then he put, hope he does. So he's hoping it happens.
Yeah, no. I don't think they'd put this piece of news out if they weren't confident the deal was going to get done.
Oh, and Don said that would be awesome if he did. So there you go.
Because I don't think they put it.
How old is Michael Keaton?
I don't know, but look, check. You got IMDb open, or you want me
to honestly go? Watched Spider-Man: Homecoming. I wanted him to kick Spider-Man's ass as well.
Oh, when Homecoming came out, I was in the theater with a Batman T-shirt, and I when they were fighting, I yelled out in the theater, "Kick his ass, Batman!" It got a few laughs.
But the thing is, Michael Keaton. Over the years, has always talked about how he's Batman. Like, he's very proud of being Batman, isn't he? And the only reason he left was because he didn't like the. He wasn't happy with the direction they were going in with the lighter tone, was he? For
yeah.
And he wanted to do Batman Year One, basically, didn't he? That first story.
Yeah.
I know that was a big thing. I mean, obviously, you can't do that now. I've just thought of something. Right, what's to stop them putting him in the suit for flashbacks? And they just use that de-aging tech like they did in Aquaman for Mira and Thingy. And
yeah, he could do it.
So there's ways they can get him back in suit and have him be.
But do you think, okay, if we do see him in the suit, and I think there's a chance, and it's not involved with de-aging, do you think it'd be a version of the 89 suit?
Probably modified. Yeah. I mean, I've long said as well, and this is going to sound stupid, right? Every time you look, every Batman, they've never had the Keaton had the best look as Batman. He just looked like his eyes as well. His eyes were brilliant. I mean, I think Clooney went a bit boss-eyed, didn't he?
Clooney didn't look good at all.
No, he didn't look right there. Kilmer looked good.
Yeah.
But it looked good in the Begin suit. I think in the Dark Knight it looked a bit ridiculous.
Yeah,
with
yeah
that.
He looked. There was...
And it sounded like he couldn't breathe.
He smoked too many packs of cigarettes.
No, actually, do you know what? The Dark Knight Honest Trailers was the best Honest Trailers.
Yeah.
And he went, Batman in his own going back with throat cancer, and I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, it's a horrible thing to joke about, but it was funny because obviously his voice was so gruff.
It's pretty funny.
I think Affleck looked good in the cowl in, more so in Suicide Squad than anywhere else, because they changed it slightly, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. Affleck looked great in the suit.
Yeah.
Bale in the Begin suit looked great.
I just think Keaton's the only one, man. He's the only one who's got the voice as well.
He's got the voice, but the look on his face says, "I'm here and I'm gonna kick your ass."
Yeah.
Like, there's no.
You wanna get nuts?
Oh, Warner Bros. Is getting nuts in the best possible way. I love this. This is. AT&T came in and said, "You guys have been screwing up everything. Let's just here. We'll fix everything for you."
We could just speculate so much, can't we? But because somebody said, "Oh, what if it's just a cameo?" And I'm like, I'd be, if that's all it is, fine. Just I'd love to just see him again. You know, I mean, obviously it's more than that, but
if it is, but let's be honest. I mean, we've gotten reports now that they said it could. Lead to many more films, right? So, I think, and again, with the fact that Keaton loves this role, like he adamantly loves, he was never embarrassed. He flat out loves it. And again, if he is in the suit, he won't have to do much in the suit.
No, that's what I mean. Even Ben Affleck didn't do any of some stuff in the suit, obviously, but right. Even he, Richard Citron did most of work, you know, fight scenes and stuff.
And think about it, by the time we get to, if he does do a Batgirl film where he's mentoring her, he doesn't have to be in the suit at that point. He could be sitting in the cave, you know, teaching her stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at that point, he can just be Bruce, can't he, at that point.
But listen, if he can do all that stuff with those wings and all that crap in Spider-Man, you don't think Keaton's game to get back in there? He'll probably want a better suit than where he could turn his head.
Brendan's just tweeted, "What effing world have I woken up to? This is crazy."
Before we had the news, when you were telling me what your individual told you, and I said, okay, I mean, they're doing the gift thing again, but this could be a voiceover. Like, who the hell knows what they're talking about? And then I saw the article, like, in print, and I'm actually reading it. I'm like, seriously, like what number is this Earth?
I don't even know.
And which one, and where, why is my multiverse wife at home?
That's the other thing. You can't take what we got at the start of Crisis as any sort of canon either, because everything got rebuilt. Like, I know, like, Brandon Ralph was still on the same Earth, yeah, but you didn't go back to all the same Earth, did it? So there's nothing to say that Keaton's Batman is still on it. Was it Earth-89 or is that...
Earth-89,
yeah. Yeah. Which, to be honest with you, I remember in one of the Flash episodes...
All right.
Wells said to Barry, you know, one RF, RF's Earth one as well. So it's like, he's only what they've called the Earths.
Yeah.
So.
But it'd be cool if they called it Earth 89. That'd be cool. Like when we first see him. All right, now.
Could bring Knox back again.
Here's an idea. Look, this is the only, I know I make fun of it with my sign off. But if you actually want me to say the actual line from the Tom King comic, "Batcat Forever," from the first kiss to the last, you somehow find Michelle Pfeiffer to cameo. Get her out of that low rent Ant-Man franchise, and get her to cameo in this thing.
Yeah, but she'd obviously come because I can't see her suiting up as Catwoman.
I'm not necessarily. I want to see that.
Having to come back as
Selina.
Selina, yeah, that'd be cool.
And what if they had a kid in this universe?
Well, I was just about to say that, yeah.
We could get the Huntress, too. Look at this. This is great.
There's so much potential.
Warner Brothers, you're actually making the right decisions.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I can't believe this. Folks, have you ever heard me stumble around like this? I've never been stumbling this much. Just, oh man.
It's borderline lost for words.
Yeah, borderline, really. I'm borderline lost.
It's crazy, isn't it? So, I've remembered something we haven't yet talked about, and I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it on this, even though it doesn't have Batman in it, but it's Batman related. There was the teaser trailer for a sneak peek for Justice League, the Zack Snyder film.
Yeah.
I didn't know Batman's in it, so technically not in that teaser, but
if you want to talk about it real quick, we could do it.
Oh, we could, yeah. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
I mean, like, just seeing that scene about Wonder Woman, you know, Wonder Woman sort of looking at the wall painting and then it cuts, like, you're hearing the Lex Luthor voiceover from BVS saying, you know, the God is dead and the bell is rung and all that jazz. And then you get that quick cut to basically the shot of the, what I guess is the quote unquote history lesson scene.
Yeah.
With Darkseid in it.
Yeah, although I think at that point it's called, is it Uxus or something.
Yeah, they can call him whatever name they want. I'm calling him Darkseid. I can't pronounce that shit. I may be pronouncing Darkseid wrong.
Well, just to go on, there was the Lightcaster where we were having a bit of a long discussion about how to pronounce it. And not one of them said it how I say it. I've been calling him Uxus, but someone's saying like Uxus and Uxas. I'm just sticking with Uxus. Watch this, right? Everyone will be going to pronounce it and they won't actually ever call him it.
when in doubt, call him Darkseid. That's what I say.
Sorry, just to go on a little bit of a tangent, but it's like the Ra's al Ghul thing, right? For me, Denny O'Neill always pronounced it Ra'sh, so everyone else should have done because he was the guy who created him. So.
I guess so. That's fair.
Anyway. But yeah, I think the big selling point for me in this sneak peek was when Diana looked scared.
Yeah, like, a good moment. And I've never seen her look like that.
No, because when she fought Doomsday, she smiled. You know, we saw her in the theatrical cut of Justice League fighting Steppenwolf, and she's not scared of him, but she's clearly scared of Darkseid. So it just shows you what an absolute badass he is.
Yeah.
And that shot of Darkseid at the end, I mean, I need to see that in like 4K or something because it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The thing I meant to mention anyway. I thought we need to touch on it at some point.
Like I said, seeing Wonder Woman scared is something that I've never seen before. So.
And that really sells it, doesn't it, if she's scared?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That, like, without even showing him, you know, going full out, they've already made him a devastating villain. I can't wait, and I can't wait to see. I hope they continue with more character-based teasers. That would be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, it's been a good week last week for DC fans.
A good month.
All I'm saying, Warner Bros., is I know we're in talks. And I know it's going to be about scheduling because he's doing another Hulu show, so they're going to have to, or a Hulu project or whatever, so they're going to have to work around scheduling. But make it work, Warner Brothers, because this is the way to. I think this is to get the general audience on board of the time travel and the multiverse concept. I think Michael Keaton being Bruce Wayne Batman is a lot more accessible than Jeffrey Dean Morgan personally.
It's funny though, a couple of days ago we had all these reports of Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Which is great. Look, if it was him, I'm happy. But the idea of this is just like, how can you expect me not to be excited about this? Like it's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, again, something I never thought was a possibility. So we'll definitely keep
We didn't even think the Snyder Cut was going to... We thought it would come one day, but we didn't think it was going to come like as soon as it is. And
yeah,
that's just still blowing the gates open, that.
I think maybe that would be the catalyst.
Because it seems like that was actually the first thing, because that was started last year. It seems like that was the first thing that was like set in motion. And then you had Jim Lee telling them to put Ezra Miller's Flash in Crisis and stuff. Well, asking him, not telling him. It just seems like...
Yeah, but when Jim Lee calls, I don't know who you are. You take that phone call.
Oh, Google never even said that. He goes, we're wrapped, but if you tell him I can have him, I'll put him in.
Exactly.
But you know what I mean? It's almost like we weren't privy to what was happening with the Snyder Cut then, but that seems like that was the first step in all these things happening.
Yeah.
And now everything's possible.
Yeah. So we'll definitely keep you updated on, you know, the developments and what more we hear from the Flash movie. But again, provided that they can work out the contract and get the scheduling handled, I'm sure these talks will probably go are probably a little smoother than, let's say, getting Henry Cavill back in, because, you know, I think The Witcher is a much more lengthy commitment than whatever the 6 or 8 episode
thing
Keaton is doing on Hulu. So,
I mean, to me, I think there's something already happened with Cavill, and I think that's related to
the right. No, no, but I'm saying, you know, scheduling for that.
Yeah.
Would be a lot difficult. More difficult.
Yeah. Because he's the lead in a big budget Netflix series.
And I'm not gonna dismiss the Hulu project, but it's about a more real world subject matter. So it's, you know.
Yeah, and we know in the Spider-Verse, he's in Morbius because he was in a trailer. Like they'll be doing a lot of cameos for that for now. So it's gonna have time to do everything, I think.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
And listen, I'm sorry, Sony and Marvel and whoever's producing that franchise now. Batman was first for Michael Keaton. So if you have to, the Vulture can take a back seat.
Well, I think as well, this there's no reason he can't do both, really.
No, yeah, I'm sure he's...
So hopefully, I hope he can, because I honestly think...
No, look,
I actually Spider-Man villains go, he's one at best.
I want him to come back as the Vulture.
Yeah.
But not at the expense of seeing him back as Batman.
No, if it's like one over, it's like, yeah, see you, Spider-Man. Yeah. No, I thought something, a line from Batman Returns, I'll say a line, it's two words, that really sum up what's happening and it's things change. And so much has changed in just in the last few months with DC. It's incredible. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, it's great. So we'll keep you abreast of the situation, and we will talk more about the Flash and other DC movies. You know, I'm willing to bet that probably on August 23rd. We're going to have a lot to talk about DC-wise, so...
Wow, it's been 2 episodes?
I might have to, across more than one show, depending on what's released. Yeah. But, so we'll keep you updated on all this seemingly amazing DC news. But until then, we hope that you're as excited as Stephen and I are about Michael Keaton heading back to Gotham City in the Batcave. We'd like to hear what your thoughts are on Batman's return. You like how I did that, eh? And so leave them leave them on Twitter, you know, or the Facebook group where you can get a hold of us. And so if you want to leave them on Twitter and leave them towards me, you can at @Adam_LeafFan, LeafsFan, I should say. I don't even know my own Twitter handle because I'm so excited. or on the Multiverse Musings Podcast Network Facebook page. Ask for admittance into the group and one of us will add you, and you can leave your Michael Keaton Batman thoughts there. Or if you want to get in touch with Steven and leave them to him, Steven, where can they do that?
That's at SteveBob1984. And there's also a Multiverse Musings Podcast Network on Twitter, which is at MMNPDC.
Awesome. And that's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed it, this impromptu podcast, as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. And believe me, this one, I love all the podcasts we do, but I think I really enjoyed this one the most because of what we're talking about. But
well, I made one bit of news last like over nearly an hour or just over an hour. So,
but but we want to remind you to stay within the Gotham City limits, and remember that Michael Keaton's Batman is forever. From the first time Jim Gordon lit up the bat signal to the last. So long, everybody.
So long.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am vengeance.